This is an ABC radio podcast.
Have you ever had one of those days or times in your life where everything just went completely, terribly, and utterly wrong? I'm talking, you know, the full catastrophe. Let's face it, most of us have, and when you're safely past that time, when you've got a good distance between the present and the past, you can tell that story to others and you can see the pure storytelling value in it. And over time, you tell that story, and with each telling, the pain just magically starts to disappear. It's true. I'm not making it up, because I know. I'm Sarah McDonald, and I grew up being called Sarah Bernhardt because I'm such a drama queen. And I'm doing a bit of a jump out of the cake moment here, because I promised you a surprise last episode, and here it is. This next story is from me, and I'm going to share a time in my life that was purely and simply catastrophic in a middle class, woe is me kind of way. So without further ado, here I am. This is me. And because I like to use a bit of colourful language, I must warn you, there is a language warning for this story. So my full catastrophe is a bit of a dog story. And it's also a story of death, disease, pestilence, infestation, elimination, evisceration, and blocked auras. Just a typical day in my life, really, but just to warn you. So in May last year, life was going okay. In fact, it was almost for me the first time in about a decade I felt under control. I was kind of emerging from that vortex of really young kids, absent travelling husband, and I was feeling almost under control. I started a new job. My daughter was starting high school. She was managing okay. We were going okay. And then life totally fell apart. And it all began when my beautiful dad died. Now, my dad was my and my family's anchor, and he was a beautiful, calm and gentle man. But at least while my grief was huge, it was uncomplicated because I always felt really deeply loved. In fact, the only competition that my mum and my sister and my brothers had in terms of love for my dad was his dogs. Dad loved his dogs. He loved them deeply. He loved how they loved unconditionally. And as an atheist, he actually used to point out that God was dog backwards. And he loved all dogs, and he even tolerated when I got one of those non-allergic, stupid, fluffy cavoodle things called Shaggy, who was neurotic and stupid. But I did hear him whisper once to his proper big boxer dog, "Shaggy's not a real dog, but be nice to him. He can't help being pathetic." Dad was right, he was pathetic. Anyway, Dad died and it was really traumatic, and I collapsed into that black hole of trauma and grief and awaking from nightmares every day as a rather vulnerable and exposed and raw shell of a human being. And I was in no shape for anything to go wrong. So of course everything went wrong, just like it does when you're just really not ready for it and you can't cope. So first my bloke went overseas to study for 2 months. We'd already paid for it. We couldn't cancel. "It'll be fine." I said, "You go, it's okay." And then my mother, who can only handle life between 20 and 22 degrees, her heating system broke. I know, your thermostat changes as you get older. I'm on 20 to 25 now, I'm heading in her direction rapidly. Anyway, her heating system broke on the only non-globally warmed day of the year last year. And she was grief-stricken and freezing, and I spent days begging maintenance men to come. They finally came on her birthday, and they were fixing it, and I thought everything's going to be fine. She said, "What do you think this is on my back?" My mother had shingles all over her back. Anyway, the new heating system was installed. We got Mum the drugs. The heating system lasted 6 hours. Guess what time the heating system broke? Everyone knows the answer to this. It broke on Friday at 5:01 p.m. Mum got sicker. I spent the weekend screaming at answering services and voicemails. Mum got sicker. On Sunday, I was meant to go for a birthday high tea with my best girlfriends. They were going to cheer me up. There was going to be scones. There was going to be champagne. Instead, I took my mum to hospital and we spent the next 4 days behind a rainbow stripy curtain in a ward mainlining apple juice and painkillers. It'd be like, two for mum, one for me, two for one, one for me. I had my nights with the kids, my neurotic dog and a bottle of wine. as you do. Anyway, it was fine. It was life, right? It was hard, but it was fine. I did consider ringing Jonathan and saying, look, I think you need to come back from overseas. But I really remembered the last time that I was in a hospital and he'd rung me, and he was working for TV then, and he was at Ningaloo Reef. And he rang me and he said, oh my God, I'm just swum with whale sharks. And I said, I'm in hospital, covered in vomit, with a baby they want a urine sample from, and your son's dick's in a cup. And he went, okay, you win, and hung up. So I thought, I'm not ringing him again. I'm going to get through this. It'll be all right. So Mum came out of hospital. It was okay. I went back to work because, did I mention I'd just started a new job? Yeah. So I went back to work just long enough to get the flu shot. And then I got the fucking flu. And you know when you're really sick and you're really sad and you're really lonely and you're overwhelmed and you're overloaded and you're sick and you go to the doctor and you just cry. And she kind of patted me on my back with a mask over her face. And she gave me some flu medicine and a bit of Valium. She sent me home. She said, come back in a few days. We'll do a chest x-ray just to check you haven't got pneumonia. I said, okay. I was really sick. I was just sort of lay there in this fever so high that I began hallucinating. And it was school holidays. I do remember my children, I was crying in pain and my children were crying with boredom, but I just sort of left them. I have no idea what they were watching on their iPads and I still don't want to know. The only nurse I had was my dog, and Shaggy is a bit too neurotic to be a nurse because he was so upset that I was sick. He kept vomiting all over the house. And I'd sort of stagger out of bed and there'd be a vomit. Stagger out of vomit. But I let him lie on my bed because I thought, bugger it, I need him. And he just sort of lay there looking at me lovingly. And he did make me feel better. And I thought, I'll get Shaggy trained to get off the bed when I'm not feeling so awful. So then I just started, I was hallucinating so badly, I started imagining that I was attracting bad voodoo. And I decided to get help. I did what all self-respecting daughters of atheists do. I rang a psychic. And I rang her and she said, oh, g'day, love, I'm in Westfield. And I said, oh, I need a bit of help, but I guess, you know, spiritualists have to shop, they have to eat. She said, listen, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I need you to get into a bath of salt water. Before you do that, I need you to change all your bed sheets to all white. I want white sheets, I want white doona cover, I want white pillow. I want you in a white bath, I want you with white salt. I want you to get out of that bath and dress in white. I would have done anything right, anything. I'm like, sure. So I got in the bath, I changed all my bed sheets, I put on white, she rang me back. She goes, yep, your aura is really blocked. And I said, would you like me to ring back when your indigestion's better? She said, no. I'm cleansing your aura. I'm burping out your bad voodoo, darling. I said, okay. And she said, white light in your head, in your head. Ah! And she kept burping and she burped my aura clean. And the dog was lying on the bed with me going. And I was like, just go with it, Shaggy. I felt good because I actually felt better. I could feel my aura open up and I could feel my head was getting hotter and hotter and hotter. And I could feel this, like really, it was amazing. I thought, this woman is doing something. I am hot right here on the top of my head. My aura is being cleansed. And I got itchy and then had these bumps. And I thought, wow, it's the day I have to go back to the doctor. So I went back to the doctor to check my chest. And she said, your lungs are good. You don't have pneumonia. I thought, great. But I said, look, I've just got, you know, this really bad pain on the top of my head. And I've just been to a spiritualist. And she looked at me and went, yeah, great, Jesus, here we go again. Maybe I gave her too much Valium. And I said, am I sort of a saint and I've got some head stigmata? And she said, no, you've got nits. And I went home and I had to de-knit the kids' hair. And they both have long hair. And I had long hair there now, that's why I don't have any hair anymore. And I was alone and I was sad and I was sick and I was over it and the dog was looking at me like this. And I was sitting there with a big bottle of Dettol for the comb and I had the big poison and I had the glass of wine beside the Dettol and I was drinking from the wine. And at some point when I started de-knitting my own hair, I got them mixed up and I drank the Dettol. And I thought, that is it. I have had enough. And I said, Dad, because I was feeling really spiritual, I need a sign. I need you to send me a sign that everything's going to be all right, that there is a message from the other side that my shitty life at the moment is going to get better. And the dog started crying. And I looked at my dog and I thought, I'm a really bad dog owner. This dog's hardly been walked. I've been so sick. We live on the edge of this tiny little patch of bushland. And I thought, I'm going to let the dog out. So I let the dog out because I was still de-needing my hair. And the dog went out and he had a lovely time in the bush. And I thought, OK, the night's nearly over. I've got those lovely sheets, white sheets, clean bed upstairs. It's going to be OK. So then I put on about 15 loads of washing and I washed the towels. And you know what it's like. Has anyone had mitts here? You wash the towels, you wash the sheets, you wash everything. And you do about 3 loads of washing and then you constantly get obsessive and you're de-knitting your hair and big chunks of hair swirling out. And the dog came back and he looked at me and he was so happy and he went upstairs and the kids went upstairs and I finished the bottle of wine and probably the bottle of Dettol. I put on another load of washing and then I started crawling, like I couldn't walk any longer. I was so sick and so tired. I started crawling up the stairs and I could think, Dad, send me a message. Lovely white sheets. I'm going to have a nice dream. Dad's going to visit me in my dreams. He's going to tell me everything's all right. Kiss the kids goodnight. I went to my bedroom and I could smell something a bit weird. And the dog was lying on my bed like this, with his head on my pillow, like going, come to bed, darling. And he put his head up when I came in and I noticed that all along here, he had a brown smear of bloody, gross, skanky crap. It was sort of like the liquid poo expelled from a dying animal. It was mixed with offal and it was all over my white bed and my white dinner and my white sheets and my white thing. I think he even had a bit of possum intestine hanging off his ear in a fetching, earring sort of way. And I picked him up and I was covered in it too because remember I was in white and I went, Dad, thanks. You show me that life is sometimes awful and it's shit. And sometimes you just have to roll with it and you have to roll in it. And that's what today is all about. We are rolling in the deep, deep doo-doo for the full catastrophe. Oh, there's just something about storytelling that brings about such a delightful sense of release. That was me, Sarah McDonald, and I first told that story at an event very aptly called The Full Catastrophe. It's at the Giant Dwarf Theatre in Sydney, and I'd love you to come along to the next one. For more details about that and all events at Giant Dwarf, check out giantdwarf.com.au. That's the last episode in this second series of Tall Tales and True. Be sure to check out our other podcasts while we're busy making another series for you. Just some of the ones I've mentioned are Laughing Dead, that's the one with comedians talking about dying on stage, The Real Thing, extraordinary stories about unique Australians, Short and Curly, that's the Kids Ethics podcast. For the football lovers, and I mean real football, as in soccer, Santo, Sam and Ed's Total Football has got everything you'll ever want in a podcast. And check out Nazim Hussain's Burn Your Passport. I guess that's what he'll be doing now he's out of the jungle. In this podcast, he talks about the downside of travelling with fellow comedians. Bed bugs, delayed flights, crappy accommodation, the whole lot.
Hey, it's me, Nazim Hussain, and I am back with another season of Burn Your Passport. It's been a big year for me, done a lot of travel, I know, goes against the whole thing of Burn Your Passport. I'll be talking to you about all that with some pretty sick guests, I gotta say. We've got Julie Morris, also my new buddy from the jungle, Dane Swan, and Casey Donovan, and Steve Price. Woohoo! He's Andrew Bolt's best mate. Oh, he's my friend's friend now.
Passengers are reminded to burn your passport.
That'll keep you going. If you want to write us a review, head to iTunes and tell us your thoughts or drop us a comment on the ABC's podcast page on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. A big thanks to all our storytellers and to you, our listener. Thanks so much for letting us in your ears and going on this amazing storytelling ride with us. The producer of Tall Tales and True is Judy Adair. Executive producer is Ian Walker. I'm Sarah McDonald. Until we meet again.